Reconciliation is everyone's business. When Canada's Truth and Reconciliation Commission issued its 94 calls to action, number 92 called on the private sector to improve Indigenous participation in our economy. It called on businesses to do their part. This podcast is about responding to call number 92 and what you can do to make a difference. Reconciliation. Conversation. Action. Welcome to UN92, sponsored by Farm Credit Canada, Zastel, Morris Interactive, and K+S Potash Canada.
It's time to create some traction. No more words, let's get to action. In the shimmering lights we start. Great ideas to make a spark. It's UN92.
Here's your host, Julianne Riston.
Welcome back, listeners, to UN92. I today am very happy to have John Lajimodier here, owner and operator of ACS Aboriginal Consulting Services, a good friend and someone who's been in the know in the reconciliation space for a very long time. Welcome to the show, John.
Hey, thanks for having me. Love the opening.
It's good, right?
It is.
Yeah. So, talking today to the small and medium business community. So how does the small and medium business community get engaged in reconciliation in their own work and what they want to do with the community and that sort of thing? And so with, 25 years of experience under your belt?
25 years, yeah, Indigenous awareness.
You've probably had this conversation more than once.
Yeah, well, yeah, with lots of people.
Yeah. So I guess, like, let's start with this. What types of things have you seen evolve over the years, like from where you started to today?
Obviously a much broader interest, when I mean breadth of diversity of business, right? Off the start, it was crowns, government kind of had the push, and then it became industry, started to wake up a little bit 20 years ago. And then it was government and industry, and then it was kind of schools and, you know, credit unions and the social conscious ones. Mm-hmm. But now, with Call 92, everybody, like from arts groups to medium small business, what we did with the chamber and those, because they can't afford to bring someone in, but they want to send 3-4 people, those ones through the chamber, provincial chamber, were great. So everybody's kind of talking about it because everybody's kind of talking about it, finally, right? So one thing I do notice, though, is the engagement and the, how would I say, mood of the participants is markedly different from 1998 to today.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah. And so for listeners to understand, you do Aboriginal awareness training.
Oh, yeah. I should have said that.
Yeah. So it's important that they understand the context of which you're coming at. So you're actually doing that first bit of engagement that maybe we missed in the school systems and our generation in particular really missed out on it. So can you explain a little bit more about what you mean by the shift in that interest?
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. So our first client was Sastel, right? And basically what we put together was Native Studies 110 and tied into some current issues and just the way we went, right? We're all just fresh out of university or finishing. And we're just reiterating what we just learned in the last 4, 5, 7 years. So we teach that history that fills in the blanks that, and you, like you said, anybody who's, 6 or 40 and over, well, even 30 and over, depends where you went to school, huge gaps in our knowledge, huge. And unfortunately here in Saskatchewan filled those gaps with myths, misconceptions, resentments, throw in some lingering racism. And you got all this bark around the relationship, right? Because people just don't understand. And one of the key things of breaking down racism is education, right? When you learn more about another person, you get empathy, you get, you know, these understandings. So, you know, the awareness has evolved from, you know, more basic stuff. But, you know, think what happened in the last 25 years, like the evolution of duty to consult, the Treeland Entitlement. Well, Treeland Entitlement was kicking off when we started this, but oh my Lord, mm-hmm. and the land claims and the Daniel's decision and the, obviously the Truth and Reconciliation. But the key in 92 is to start with that education. Right. Like they have throughout the TRC calls to action for various organizations, take Indigenous awareness, like learn the history, learn Aboriginal rights. And when you learn those Aboriginal rights, it explains why and how there's land claims, mm-hmm. or why and how a hunting right exists, or how it evolves, and or how duty to consult even comes to be. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you explain the treaty stuff away, always with the understanding, you know, we were raised as Canadians that, you know, we gave these Indians treaties, great for Canada, good stuff, mm-hmm. what Canada did for those First Nations, mm-hmm. right? But then when you break down what Canada did after, it's like, well, no wonder. Like, so explains the issues. Gives them context, blows away the myths, and makes them think twice. So back in 98, when we were doing this, a lot of crossed arms, right. way more racism, a lot more pushback and, you know, that kind of thing. But now people, because they've heard so much about it since the release of the report and all these things, they want that clarity. And you know what else? A lot of them have children coming home and schooling mm-hmm. them.
Yep.
On residential schools or whatever. And the parents are like, wow, I got to get caught up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot more open minds now.
Yeah.
I would say. And that's the heartening thing.
Yeah.
Right? And the demand is off the rails.
Yeah, no doubt. You're a very busy man.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I wonder, like, so once you see these, and you deal with businesses all the time. Mm-hmm. So when you see a small or medium-sized business, like, they don't have a lot of resources and they're just trying to do the right thing and they know they got to learn something. You know, when you see them have those light bulb moments, because, you know, we've talked about this, you and I, about you're in the business of changing hearts and minds, and right. you can almost palpably see a shift in a room when that happens. What are some of the things that you see people getting excited about that they want to take first steps in from their companies? Like, what is that they're trying to drive?
Yeah, when we come back to those places, there's some energy around an Indigenous kind of strategy. And that's what we always tell them to do. You're not going to be able to show up with a $300,000 check. Mm-hmm. You know, but do what you can. And in the context and capacity of the operation that you have. And a lot of it starts with building relationships. And then after that, it's helping find and recruit in your industry people, right? So when I was running the paper, I was always helping teach young journalists, you know, you invest in that, you speak at those things, you build your industry, so it gets fed into you. So there's a lot more, I guess, diversity of employers that are looking for Indigenous people and reaching out to the schools, training institutes, and finding that next great one, because that's a game changer, mm-hmm. right? When we get Indigenous people up into the economy, it flips demographics like nothing. And more importantly, their kids into the future, right? It changes it for those kids. So we're in that pretty heady change generation, and I think there's way more allies out there than we're aware of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate that, and I definitely share that sentiment about kind of meeting businesses where they are and not expecting them to, you know, do it all overnight, because that's not possible. Yeah. You referenced the paper, and just for listeners, that's Eagle Feather News. That's something that was started 25 years ago, close to. Yeah, and really with the perspective of telling good news stories about True. Indigenous yeah. communities and people and businesses throughout Saskatchewan. So really flipping the narrative of Indigenous engagement on its head, instead of hearing about the bad things that happen through the media, because we're all gluttons for the bad stuff, mm-hmm. But really focusing on changing the narrative to the positive. And I think that's driven a lot of the ability for people in Saskatchewan to wade into the conversation about Indigenous engagement, because we've had that counter message coming out of something like Eagle Feather News. Mm-hmm. So again, for listeners, if you can find a copy of Eagle Feather, go online, check it out, because it is a great way to break down myths, to learn something you didn't know yesterday, and that kind of thing. So I wonder about your perspective on, like, what's a first step that a company could take today, knowing that mm-hmm. we're kind of coming in with a bit of a different perspective, and someone like a small business wants to come in and do something good. What could they do?
Well, yeah, it depends what they do, right, as an industry. I always say it starts with education, and that's job security. You need to hump that. Check me out online. but, you know, there's so much need in the community for volunteers, for investment, small or in kind, to community events. And that gets you starting to build that relationship. And it's simple as a conversation at a community event where you can start getting doors open because, you know, some people have trepidation and, oh, will I be welcome? Hmm. Believe me, you're welcome in our events,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, come on down, you'll it'll change your perspectives on community.
Yeah.
And you'll always be welcome, you'll always be fed. And,
yes.
You know, for sure. So I say start with that. And then, you know, at the same time, there's, you know, if you're marketing your product, market to the Indigenous community.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the fastest emerging consumer market in the province, for gosh sake.
Mm-hmm.
And you just look at the progress, it's like, holy cow. Or explore partnerships with companies that are established in the chain already or have a strategy and that you can help supplement, you know, and get in sideways. Mm-hmm. It's just about the network and the marketing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Go to some of those conferences.
Yeah, get out there. And I agree with you. The worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to get fed
mm-hmm.
and probably told a whole bunch of information about a community yeah. That you didn't know before.
Yeah, probably have a laugh or two.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly. So you talk about education, and to me what I'm hearing you say is preparing your workplace for
yes.
potentially hiring Indigenous people. What would you say the steps would be in that workplace preparation?
Well, an Indigenous awareness seminar of some sort, or getting guest speakers, or attending something like the Wet'suwet'en conference, you know, those kind of things. Because here's the thing. When you're looking to hire and retain Indigenous folks, and then you got, people in the workplace spouting off, or sticking at stereotypical tropes, or making a crack about tax exemption or not understanding the issues or just going to the Indigenous staff member because they think they're the expert on everything.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta prepare that workplace to be, you know, sensitive and it varies, you know, dental office as compared to a construction site. There's different languages in different workplaces. But it's prepare that workplace, but also when you're bringing someone in that's Indigenous, is hook them up with a deadly mentor.
Because
mm-hmm. people underestimate the overwhelmingness of the workforce sometimes and the use of acronyms or, you know, how little things work and the politics or the layers. So if you can really communicate that to a new hire and attach them at the hip to someone who's got, you know, some respect in the workplace and can break them in a good way, that'll increase your odds of retaining that employee fold, multiple mm-hmm. fold. So communicate, mentor, and we had this, you know, and it's keep trying, right? You got to be persistent.
Yes.
And, you know, we had this guy, oh, yeah, we hired, you know, we did this thing with, we had some Native guys working for us and, you know, they got their first check and they, you know, quit and they got a canoe because they just want to go home and fish. You know, it's just playing on every stereotype.
Yeah.
I said, do you ever have a white guy, you know, quit on you after a first check? Oh, yeah. I said, did you quit hiring white guys?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, when you put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's some unconscious bias we all kind of carry,
yeah.
Right? It comes. So So you got to work on breaking that down internally. And we all have a role to play in reconciliation, not just 9 to 5 at work.
Mm-hmm.
It's personal stuff about elevating the conversation with your friends and family and understanding more as a Canadian what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, not taking the, you know, the shame of it or the blame of that history, but understanding it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, accept our responsibilities as Canadians going forward.
Right.
For goodness sake, right? We have to acknowledge all this crap happened.
Yeah.
And that's why we're doing land claims now. That's why we're compensating survivors. That's why there's this conflict, because it should have been different.
Yes.
So our generation is paying that price, but also, like, we're finally understanding it.
Yeah.
And Canadians are like, oh, well, no wonder.
Yeah.
There's this, this, and this.
Yeah.
How we got to fix that.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm curious. So you talk about, you know, the story, and I appreciate the story of, you know, someone saying I tried and, you know, got the first check and out they went. So let's talk about that. So what types of cultural differences mm-hmm. or things would contribute to a difference in how, let's say, contemporary and mainstream business sees, you know, job security versus or job, you know, showing up? To maybe an Indigenous cultural difference, like things like bereavement and that. Can you talk a little bit about some of those pitfalls that we see in cultural clash?
Yeah. There's a few, I guess. One thing, you know, in the Cree culture and some others, you know, you're not supposed to really hype yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be humble. So when you're in that job interview and you're, you know, kind of trained to be humble, and you know that some employers may not understand that. So some employers perhaps should give questions that they're going to ask that interviewee before they interview them.
Yeah.
Ask open-ended questions, draw things out of them, understanding that they're not there to boast, but you got to find those skills. Oh, and then some people like, oh, they'll never look you in the eye.
Yeah.
You know, that one. And, you know, that's a hit and miss. Mm-hmm. A lot of people look you right in the eye. But others, I was taught that it's not because they're ashamed or anything. They're averting their eyes out of respect and they're turning their ears. So there's some different communication styles there. And then you got to remember as well, and in particular in the First Nations community, because Métis, even though we were had some hard history, we mm-hmm. had to participate in the economy.
Yeah.
Like Métis participation rates in the economy are almost on par with mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
But the First Nations, historically, locked on reserve, impact of res schools, kept out of the economy, da-da-da-da. So we got a lot of people that are first generation in the labor market,
mm-hmm.
sometimes second, you know, and there's lots of middle class and there's some multi-generation families that participate in the economy. But so some of those soft skills
right.
that come into the workplace maybe, and that's where you get the mentor and you language and mentor them in. So you got to understand that as well. And then it's like, well, why are they only the first or second generation in the labor market? Well, here's some history. Indian Act, kept out of the farming, you know, da, 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 da. And then it all makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So then that re-ups their commitment, I guess, and understanding and able to better make that transition of that employee into their workplace, of their workplace being better for Indigenous folks, and or pursuing partnerships or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's key. Like it's not a handout.
Nope.
It's not an unfair advantage. It's not a compliance-based, you know, check a box kind of activity. If you look at it that way, it's probably going to be difficult as a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
But to really think of it as a leveling of the playing field just later.
Yeah.
Right?
And we all benefit, mm-hmm. right? Like, we could quote Eric Howe's report out the yin yang,
mm-hmm.
and but those numbers sure would be good if that's the reality, right? If we had the same, if Indigenous folks had the same education, employment, income as the mainstream, it would benefit Saskatchewan's economy $30 billion a decade for the next 3 decades.
Mm-hmm.
That's a $90 billion return on investing into people.
Wow.
Right? Imagine less social
costs. Say that
cost.
At 90 billion.
Billion.
Okay.
3 decades.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if that doesn't make you sit up and say, hey, well, hold, all right, so we're in this point now, our generation, where we have to change ethically how we invest.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Less into those systems or more into the systems that are capturing our people right now so that they can help in that system to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Whether it's child welfare, justice system, God forbid, you know, those things. So way less costs there, way more tax-paying healthy citizens on the other side.
Hey.
Health costs will go down, mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah.
Like we all win. So ethically, it's our generation, economically, but then also ethically.
Right.
Without a question.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Our turn.
Yeah. So when you think about the Saskatchewan market in general, you know, and access to labor and that sort of thing. Like, what's your perspective on what this engagement can actually do for us, you know, overall as a community and province and the like?
Well, it's go time again, right? And we saw this come during the boom, 2005 to 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2014, correct me if I'm wrong, but I watched the unemployment rate every month. And in 2014, we had the Aboriginal unemployment rate down to 6-point-some percent. On average, it's 13, 14. So it showed when there's work, we're working. And right now, we are coming into, in Saskatchewan, a lot of major build projects again. Sounds familiar, right? Mm-hmm. We're dying for healthcare workers. We're flying around the world recruiting people. Mm-hmm. We have a whole crew of people here. So if we do that, educate, train, and employ, and really work on it, but at the same time, we got to balance, like, there's still so much trauma and tragedy impacting our communities. So it's got to be holistic.
Yeah.
Right? We got to have those supports. We got to have mental health supports. We got to have rehabilitation centers and that grassroots revital that's all encompassing, mm-hmm. that's healing, that's education, that's taking our place. And the workplace has to change too.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I think when they hire, say, for three people at an industrial plant, and, you know, they hope to keep one, or why don't they hire eight and work them all third time? Mm-hmm. And then if one guy's going to be sick or one employee's going to be sick, well, they got five that are on their third time off. Just think outside the box. Doesn't right. all have to be 60 hours and live camp life. You know, like, mm-hmm. think outside the box.
Yeah.
We got to change.
Yeah.
COVID made us change.
Boy, did it ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to be more accommodating online. Mm-hmm. Some things aren't as important as others anymore.
Right. ESG, equity, diversity, yeah. and inclusion, these things that are taking mm-hmm. prominence. Yeah. No, I agree. UNDRIP. Huh?
Yeah.
Whatever that's going to look
whatever
like.
Whatever that is. Yeah. yeah.
So I'm curious, we have a couple minutes remaining, and I really appreciate the depth of conversation mm-hmm. on this. One question, I have two, but I'm going to start with one.
Okay.
Do you have a story that kind of comes back for you that in all of your years of engagement and awareness that, you know, you kind of draw from that's, oh, I remember that one time. And is there anything like that you would share with the small and medium business community where you saw light bulbs go on in a way that maybe you hadn't expected?
Oh, geez, that's really hard. That's really hard. You know, we did a bunch of awareness training for the Saskatoon Police, and I had a sergeant come up to me a year and a half later. He says, man, that information you gave me changed the way I police. 100%, he said. Hmm. So that kind of knocked my socks off.
Yeah.
And we had an old timer at an industrial site. It was one of the mines in the province, to be honest. And we did our seminar, and he come up to my co-facilitator, Winston McLean, his Cree guy, James Smith. And this old guy goes to Winston, he grabs his hand, leans in, he goes, sorry, but I've been hating your people for all the wrong reasons. I was like, what? Oh. It was like, so this old guy is like,
wow.
Just,
wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get cool moments, right?
Yeah. Gee, mm-hmm. imagine and changing a life like that.
Yeah, and same kind of place had this 60-year-old guy stand up and he says, you know, as a 60-year-old man just learning this stuff today, he says, this is my fault too. Mm-hmm. I voted for those politicians. I didn't hold them accountable. I didn't pay attention to what they weren't doing over here and what they... And he says, like, we own this. Mm-hmm. Like, and here's a, you know, a shift supervisor at a big site. And it was just like, somebody record that. You know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Yeah. I appreciate you sharing that very much.
Yeah. Hearts and minds.
Yeah, right? So if you had one piece of advice because of the timing of this to give to small and medium business owners to start that first step, that step off the ledge, what would you say?
Like, well, it starts with education, right? Like, but they got to make that personal commitment. You
yes.
got to, and that starts with learning personally, making that, finding that empathy. And once you have that empathy, everything else makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it's just such the right thing to do right now, mm-hmm. As Canadians, as individuals, economically, ethically, the time, like it's just make that commitment and then we all win. So, you know, like that provincial motto, right? From many people's strength, hey?
Yep.
So if we're all chipping away at that iceberg, she'll get smaller quicker. And, you know, that's all I ever tell them.
Yeah. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to have a conversation with you, John. Listeners, if you have an opportunity to go to an awareness session led by John and Winston and ACS Aboriginal Consulting Services, run, don't walk. It'll change your life. If people are looking to find you, what's your website address and how do they get a hold of you?
AboriginalConsultingServices.com. I know it's long, but it's worth typing in. But also check out EagleFeatherNews.com, right? The folks that took over are doing a bang-up job. Lots of good news there to read.
John, thank you for the 20 plus and more years that you've put into changing hearts and minds, changing the narrative so that we can have conversations like this.
My pleasure.
Take care.
This has been You in 92 with your host, Julianne Riston, produced by the Greater Saskatoon Chamber of Commerce. Thank you to our sponsors, Farm Credit Canada, Sasktel, Morris Interactive, and K+S Potash Canada. Visit youand92.ca for more resources and information, including the Chamber's step-by-step reconciliation roadmap for small business and past editions of this podcast. Connect with the Saskatoon Chamber anytime at saskatoonchamber.com or through social media using the handle @thechamberyxe.
It's time to create some traction. No more words, let's get to action. In the shimmering lights we start. Great ideas to make a spark. It's you and 92.
Theme song by Lancelot Knight. Produced at Sound Lounge by T-Bone.